morning. While they are exiting, if you would open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, we're going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount. There are a number of considerations that go into preparing a sermon that determine the length of the sermon. You look at the passage, how long it is, how many points are in there, how much supporting material you might need to bring in, other passages you might need to go to, and then there is the Robin factor. You need to find out whether he's come back from Liberia and he's going to talk or not. So I've taken that factor into today's sermon. And Robin, I'm the one that was on you about the passport. I don't think Renee was. And it was a good experience actually for me too, because I was praying desperately to our God to make sure that got there. And it did the day before he left, which was amazing. But so we're going to be in God's Word in the Sermon on the Mount today. And I don't know how many of you are deep thinkers in this room. For me, there is this big part of me that likes to think deep. I like to try and figure things out. But there's another part of me that's a bottom line kind of guy. What is the bottom line? I like to boil things down, so to speak, and see it in its simplest terms as well. In the passage we're going to be in today, Jesus does just that. He boils down truth, and he gives us simple instructions. Instructions that are simple to remember, but challenging to live. Deep thinking. Do you ever consider why God created you? Why God created you? And we all know the answer ultimately is to bring glory to God, right? Bring glory to God. His glory is the number one reason that we were created. Think about that. God created each of you to bring glory to him. John Piper takes it another step. We were created to bring glory to God and enjoy him forever. And that is truth. Enjoy God forever. And how? How is it that we can enjoy God forever? What is the essence of the joy? It is experiencing God in a relationship with him. Do you know that God created you to be in relationship with him? The entirety of the Bible is about his creation in relationship with him. Why and how our relation with God started. Why and how it was broken. Why and how it is fixed. Why and how we are now to function in a restored relationship. And why and how our relationship will be with him forever. That's what the Bible's about. Relational. Our God is relational. So much so that after God created Adam, God said what? It's not good for Adam to be alone. So he created Eve. We have been created to be in relationship with God and with each other. Both relationships are intended to bring glory to God, and both relationships are intended for our joy. The Bible is a gift from God, and it reveals to us how he created us to function in relationship with him, how to function in relationships with one another, and how to function in relationships with the lost. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has taught us who we are as Christians, who we are as Christians on the inside, at the heart level, who we are as Christians and the blessings that come with it. Jesus teaches us how we are to relate to God and how we are to relate to other human beings. And Jesus gets to this place in his teaching and boils down how we, born-again believers in Christ, who belong to him and call him Father, Jesus gives us bottom line on how we are to treat each other, what our relationship with other human beings looks like. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you now, having praised and worshiped you and sang songs to your glory and the amazing truth of your grace. And we pray, Father, that you have received our worship and song. Father, we come to you now to worship you in your word. We come now, Father, praying that this truth, this golden rule, as it's called, dear God, that you would use this truth and plant it deep within us, that we would see it for what it is, freedom to love. And Father, that you would use your word and the power of your spirit to change us today from the inside out. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus teaches a simple principle that we are to live by. This is what is often called the golden rule. Treat others the way you wish they would treat you. This is how we are to function in relationships to others. Let's begin with the first word in verse 12. So, this could be translated therefore. This is a connecting word, but what is it connecting to? It connects to the general context of judgment. Of judgment. But this truth of how we are to live is certainly not limited to judging. Notice the language. So whatever. Whatever. Some translations say, so in everything do this. Clearly, Jesus is encompassing the whole of the Sermon on the Mount and all of the situations and people we encounter in our lives. Let's look at this and break it into three simple truths. What we do to others, what we do to others, who we do it to, and then finally, why we do it. So what we do to others, who we do it to, and why we do it. Simple truths to live by. So first we'll look at what we do to others. Verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. What we are to do to others is what we wish they would do to us. In whatever. In everything. And every time. Everything and every time. This includes our thoughts towards others. How would I desire the person think about me? Then that's the way I should think towards that person. Our speech. How would I desire someone would speak to me or speak to others about me? Then that is the way I should speak to them and speak to others about them. Our deeds. How would I desire that person would act towards me? Then that's the way I should take action towards them. And I would say, wow. Is this really what Jesus is saying to all of us? That what I think about others and how I speak to them and how I speak about them and how I act towards others should always be based on how I wish they would do these things to me. And we know the rhetorical question's answer is yes. This is what Jesus is saying. So keep your finger here and turn with me to Matthew, a few chapters forward. Matthew 16:24. What is it I like? What is it that helps me? What is it that pleases me? What is it I don't like? What is it that doesn't help me? What is it that doesn't please me? In everything and every time, that's what I'm to do. Here's where I want to bring in another bottom line truth from Jesus. This is bottom line truth. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How am I doing at that? Am I denying myself and suffering for God and for others and following Jesus? This truth, this boiled down bottom line truth, contains the necessary heart attitude in order for us to live the golden rule. What we are to do to others according to Jesus in our passage will require us, will absolutely require us to deny ourselves and think and take action for the good of others. Flip back to our passage in Matthew 7:12. What we do to others, point one, all things and all times what we wish they would do to us. All things and at all times what we wish they would do to us. Second, who we do it to. Who is the recipient of our self-denying heart attitude, which gives them what I would desire? Who is the them in verse 12? And the simple answer is everyone. Everyone. Do you remember when Jesus was asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And he gave the story of the Good Samaritan? This is the same situation. Anyone we come into contact with, anyone we have a relationship with, is the them. Just as it is whatever in all things 100%, so is it all people 100%. And here is where it gets even harder. Jesus, just as Jesus does not put a qualification on all things, he also does not put a qualification on the them. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus does not qualify it by saying, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, only if they're in a good mood. Right? Only if they are willing to hear what you have to say and react in a good way. Or how about, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them as long as they are doing the same to you. No. Jesus' instruction is unconditional. Our heart attitude is to deny ourselves and to everyone do unto them as we would have them do to us. This truth makes us vulnerable. It can set us up for ridicule. It can make us look weak, though we are meek. Living this way can result in persecution. Living this way can save souls. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. No one ever said following Jesus was going to be easy and without suffering. At least no one at Country Bible Church, as far as I know, and certainly not the Bible, and most certainly not Jesus himself. We will suffer. Who is the them? The driver in the car that wants to get into my lane. The cashier in the store who is having a bad day. The salesperson on the phone who made a cold call and interrupted my day. My neighbors in the hood I live. My wife, my family, my coworkers, my classmates, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and my enemy who is out to get me. They are the them. All of them. So one, what we are to do to others, all things at all times, what we wish they would do to us. Who do we do it to? All of them. Everyone. And three, why? Why do we do it? Why do we do it? Is it because someone pays us to do it? Is it because someone treats me this way, so I'm going to treat them that way? Do we do it to gain favor with God and earn points to get into heaven? Well, I hope you all know the answer to all those is no. Remember our bottom line passage where Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. and follow me. We do it because the Son of God tells us to do it. Now, within that truth, Jesus does support his command for us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. He supports this. This is not something new Jesus teaches. Look at it with me. Verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Watch now. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. The golden rule is the law and the prophets. What does this mean? What does this mean? Turn with me again to Matthew 22 this time, verse 36. Matthew 22, 36. And we'll look at one more boil it down, bottom line truth passage. When Jesus says, for this is the law and the prophets, it is a simple, basic truth that we are to love. Matthew 22, 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and all the prophets. Brothers and sisters, every law and every commandment and every prophecy ever spoken is based on love. Loving God, loving our neighbors, loving each other, and loving our enemies. When it comes to loving our neighbors as ourselves, when it comes to loving our neighbors as ourselves, we use the golden rule as our guide. Am I truly loving people? How do I know? The way we know is by simply, honestly asking and answering these questions. Is what I'm thinking about them the way I wish they would think about me? Is what I am speaking to them or speaking about them the way I wish they would speak to me and speak about me? Are the actions I'm taking the way I wish they would act towards me? If the answer is no to any of these questions, then we are not loving our neighbors as ourselves. All of the laws and all of the prophets focused on relationships. Relationship with God and relationship with man. Jesus set the standard of loving God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Jesus sets the standard of loving our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus gives us this command in the Sermon on the Mount as a means in which we do all of the law and all of the prophets that point to regarding our neighbor. We love them. This is the motive. Okay, we have the golden rule down. Can you imagine what a world would look like when everybody lived this? But we don't. But there is coming quickly a time and a place where this will be reality. And we won't have to imagine it any longer. We will be living in it. But for now, we praise and thank God that he is relational, right? And that he helps us to understand how solid relationships are developed and sustained. But why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? What stops humans from living this wonderful truth? What interferes with followers of Jesus from living this command? Sin. Sin. Let's begin with humankind. While God has graced all people with a conscience, as Pastor Dave preached about in a series on conscience, sin is ultimately how people live without Christ. They're in sin. They're dead in their trespass, and they're enslaved to sin. The answer to this sin problem is the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. If you're dead in your trespasses and sin, and you're enslaved to sin, the answer is Christ. Repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ. It is the gospel. The gospel is the answer. For us believers, we need to remember that the golden rule is much, much more than rules and regulations. Doing unto others as we would have them do unto us is a spiritual reality. It is indeed a command to follow the law, but we must remember we live in the new covenant in the blood of Christ. And this law to love then is written where? In our hearts, in our minds. It's in our hearts. The law to love is in us. We have to remember who Jesus is instructing in this place. He is instructing born-again believers in Christ, those who by the grace of God are becoming more and more like Jesus, those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn over sin. They are meek and they hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who are merciful and pure in heart and peacemakers. That's who Jesus is instructing here. Remembering that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in us is important for a couple reasons. First, don't get this backwards. Here's what I mean. Jesus does not tell us to do to them what they wish we would do. What an unbeliever wishes for is often way different than what I wish for. As a believer, I will not scratch their itching ears with lies. My wish is to be loved in truth and grace. So then, that is what Jesus says to do to them. That is true love. Here is the ultimate truth of what I'm trying to say about that. We will not give someone dead in trespass and enslaved to sin what they want. Rather, we give them what we want, which comes from a pure heart in love with God. Second, the last reason we need to remember we have this Holy Spirit of God in us. We have truth, and we have love, and we have empowerment through the Holy Spirit to do good to others. Remember that. Remember you have the Holy Spirit of God in you to press forward. So press forward in God's power and his presence. And then there is always the amazing reality of grace when we fail. The amazing reality of walking in the grace of God. So I encourage all of us, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus, to follow him and live the golden rule. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth that I believe everybody in this room can remember. It is simple to remember, Father. But I pray each of us then would keep it in the forefronts of our mind, and we would look to you for empowerment and hope to live it, Father. That we would obey your command. What a transforming reality it would be, Father, for the relationships in our lives if we were to follow this. I pray that you do this in us, Father. With all of my heart, I pray that we would be a people who live this. In Jesus' name, amen.